welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful, really grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful October 14th day, 2018. We're going to look at conflict. We have a lot of conflict in our lives. All of us do, one way or another. And it comes with having a body. Lao Tzu said, and it is very true, disgrace comes with having a body. And a lot of our conflict brings a certain form of disgrace to our life. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, and hopefully I'll be able to help you. We're in our year-end drive to raise money to sustain this radio program, our TV program, all the things that we offer on Aspire, my work at hospice. All of this is done via your contributions. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts that I am able to do any of the work that I do, and I hope that you will make a contribution. Our mystery donor is being very generous, and he is going to match every donation for year end. That means if you become a sponsor, he will match that at any level that you choose to enter into sponsorship, or just a donation, a way of thanking the universe, as it were, for your loving life, your existence here on earth. It's something I do. I make gifts out of just being here. I am very grateful to be in this lifetime. He will match all of that, and that means a lot to Aspire. Well, as you might imagine, with a message like this, it is not mainstream. So it is always very important for us to raise money so we can pay the bills. That's really what it's all about. So if you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see on the splash page year end, there's a wonderful story, a Zen story there for you about the five fools. I think you might find that kind of interesting. And it's my gift to you. I do this every year. There's a little message from me out in my backyard. They were renovating my bathroom and my kitchen, so I'm kind of relegated to go outside and do this. But it worked out all right. And it wasn't optimum, but it was all right. And I think you'll find my message there interesting about the five fools. Please make a donation. Let this thing continue. I hope that your listening to it proves that for you it is important. What is conflict? A dispute, a quarrel, a squabble, a disagreement, a clash, a discord, a friction, a strife, antagonism, hostility. The other night I was watching some reruns of highlights of a football game that was played in Denver, and the Kansas City Chiefs had just scored a touchdown in Denver. And as you know, the seats are pretty close to the field. The Denver people, some of the men in the Denver crowd, the cheering section, as it were flipping them off, flipping the players off as they scored the winning touchdown, and yelling at the players, and I'm sure saying some pretty unkind things to them. And I just sat there and thought to myself, truthfully, and I'm just going to be this way today, so forgive me. In my era, when I went to football games down in San Diego at Balboa Stadium, it was a wonderful place. Nobody ever thought of doing things like that. I mean, nobody in the crowd would have given the finger to somebody on the other side who had won the game from the locals. It just wouldn't have been done. It may have been thought of, but it just wouldn't have been done. This hostility, this conflict that we engage in is monumental. Wherever I go, I see it. I see it in people and how they drive aggressively. I see it when they make a mistake on the road and then people honk at them, and then they stick their hand out and give them the salute. It just goes on and on and on, this hostility, this conflict that we live off of. Our whole society is based on conflict. So the first question comes from Reed in, Los Angeles. How do we avoid conflict? It seems to be a daily part of my life, Reed. Yeah, Reed, I'm afraid it is. It's a daily part of most people's lives. It is not a good thing in the spiritual sense. It doesn't help people to be in conflict with them. And aren't we here to be in service to humankind to help them? I think the way we operate as a society, it's every man for himself. And our genetics and our DNA reign supreme now. There is a kind of a psychic sense that we all have about the earth. We know that we're doing some terrible things to it. We don't care because of economics. Tsunamis more now than ever before. The rising ocean as the glaciers melt. We kind of know what's going on. We can kind of feel it deep inside of us. And I think it brings about a certain hostility in us where we just think to ourselves, get it all before it all ends, and it probably will end. I don't know if it will in my lifetime, but it will eventually, and you're going to have to start looking at this conflict we have within us. Reed, the sad thing that you say, and it's a very powerful commentary you make here about conflict, it is a way of life, and the way we look at things is not how may I help you, but you better not get in my way. That's the way we live. You better not get in my way. I'm not looking to help you. I'm looking to get you out of my way so I can get what I want. That's the mentality that we're up against. They call it the pedestrian mentality, and it truly is a pedestrian mentality. I don't see it ending anytime soon. I think we like squabble, disagreements, dissension, friction, strife. Look at government. It's nothing but that. Government should be something that helps the people. It should be about the highest branches on the tree, as it were. And it's not. It's about corruption and devastation and hurting people and every man for himself. And you see it with government, you see it in your local government, you see it in your personal life, you see it in your community, and it all begins with me and you, how we live from within ourselves. And this is the most difficult aspect of it all. How do I live within myself? How do you live within yourself? I realize that people have kind of changed a little bit. The more we populate, the more people who are on the planet, the more we're like, rats that are being kind of shoved in the corner, and we start cannibalizing each other, and it gets awful. The natural instincts of our genetics, our DNA, I should really say, not so much our genetics, comes into play, and before you know it, it's all about dog eat dog. Well, dogs don't do that, they're too sweet, but you know what I mean. Too much stuff, too much pain. So how can we avoid conflict, you ask, Reed? You have to find the conflict within yourself. I'll tell you what it basically stems from: an insecurity in our psychology. And our psychology is nothing but insecurities. It's a series of insecurities and genetic confrontations that live within us, genetic traits that come from our ancestorhood that affect us in every single way possible. Always affecting us. Always making us in some way or another conflictual with each other. We're in competition, always, 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 always seeking to find a way to survive, to make money, to beat the other person, to do whatever it is that we think we need to do in order to sustain our lifestyle or even our life per se. And because we live in such a conflict, in such a manner, we create for ourselves a karma that is prevalent all throughout our life. This conflict is about who we are. Your psychology, my psychology, all of our psychologies is about fighting the other person, getting what we want, getting paranoid, schizophrenic even at times. At times we're just out of the ballpark and we don't think about anything but ourselves and whatever it is that pertains to what we want. Reed, every one of us has to look within ourselves and decide what that conflict is that we are dealing with and whether or not we choose love over conflict. And I know that sounds easy to say, maybe simplistic, maybe even foolish, but it is true. And as I go through my life and I face people who are ugly, and I do too. I mean, I meet them at hospice. I meet families that are they're just over the top. I meet people who are just unkind as they can be. I realize more and more and more as time goes on that none of this is what I think it is. The conflict is within ourselves. It's our insecurity, the feelings that we have about ourselves, deep emotional feelings that tell us that we're not enough. And because we live in such a manner, and because we believe in these emotional things, and emotion is everything, it truly is to most of us, we continue on in our foolishness, in our spiritual mischief. And the only way to heal it is through love, but that is another story altogether. It's about love. Reed, you're going to have to decide first what your conflict is. Second, how to undermine your conflict by being unconscionably forgiving, unconscionably kind, unconscionably giving. And number three, you're going to have to build that into your lifestyle. And to do that, you're going to have to be in third person. You're going to have to watch Reed and see what he's up to and not allow him to overtake you. That's how you do it. And if you're married to someone who doesn't agree with all of this or can't do all of this due to genetic heritage and such, you're going to find it even rougher because believe it or not, a lot of relationships in marriage, friendships, and all of that are based in the whole idea of a certain form of conflict. Just is. Enough of me. Please forgive me, Reed, and I hope this helped you. Namaste. Next one comes from Abel. He does not tell me where he lives. I like conflict. I do not think that it is bad. In conflict, I work a lot of things out. What do you think, Greg? Abel. Well, Abel, I don't know you. You know, and I don't know how you work things out, as you put it, with other people. I don't know because I'm, you know, not privy to your life. But let me give you a broad general thing here. I think I understand what you mean, that in conflict you try to work things out with people and make things, go your way, as it were, or find the better way, maybe in a more noble task. You would look at it and think, well, I'm doing this in a more noble way, but probably not. It's probably to get your way, like most people. And if you like conflict, which most of us do, by the way, you're not alone. I would say deep in our unconscious mind, most of us really enjoy conflict. And that's really what it's all about for most people. It's about a certain form of conflict where we are doing the who's at the top of the list here. What is the pecking order? Who's going to be the most important person in the room? Our conflict begins even in the family. Who's the most important person? What is the most important person? Who is the most essential? And then we have conflict there. And we want to rule over one another. We want to show the other person they're not as smart as we are, not as capable as we are, not as talented as we are, not as whatever we are. And we just keep that going and going and going, thinking to ourselves that we are finding our place in the order of our society, both in our family, in our community, and wherever else. That's why politics is so big. It's about who's right and you're wrong and you would belong down at the bottom and I belong at the top and that kind of thing. So we make it very, very difficult for ourselves to live an extraordinary life, which is not something we're much interested in. We want a rich life, a life of ease and comfort, not an extraordinary life. It is only in an extraordinary life that we find substance. That substance is love. How can I be of help to you? How can I? And I know you say here, I do not think that conflict is bad. I don't want to use the word bad, but it is terribly self-destructive. And no matter who wins, everyone loses. No matter what you do, Abe, you're going to lose, even when you win, because you've lost a little bit more of yourself and a little bit more of yourself, your ability to be patient, and above all, your ability to be kind. And because you do this in a consistent way, evidently, you're going to find as you go on that there is nothing but fight, fight, fight. And one day, dear man, you're going to come up against someone who is more able at the game you're playing with conflict. And that's going to be a rude awakening for you, maybe. An awakening where you find out you're not the only player on the field and you're not the only one that can do what you do, blah, 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 blah. So that will be a real coming downance, as it were. You're going to find great difficulty in all of this. Great difficulty. In that difficulty, you're going to find that you're not the person you thought you were. And that's going to create more conflict in you. Now you're going to have to fight harder and more to show that you're triumphant, you know? Abe, I wouldn't do all this if I were you. It's fatiguing, it doesn't help the world, and it demeans you, spiritually speaking, even socially speaking in some ways, because like I say, there's always going to be someone who's going to do better than you. What to do? Well, that is going to be a very difficult thing for you to decide to do, because what to do is about unconscionable love. Unthinkable love. Love that has nothing to do with what you want and what you believe in and what you think is right or wrong or good or bad. Unconscionable kindness, forgiveness. One of my students, when I first met him, said something to me that was shared with him by a fellow colleague. And I will never forget it. It was so moving. This statement became the fate of our friendship and our relationship as friends and as teacher to student and student to teacher. He said, "The ox is slow, the earth is patient." We are the ox, and the earth is very patient with us. Life is very patient with us. And if you can live in that patience, that's the unconscionable, and fulfill the beauty of this earth by living in an unconscionable way, doing kind things that have nothing to do with logic and reasoning, that have nothing to do but to end the conflict that lives within us. You have to get rid of this what's in it for me kind of mentality. And that's a tough one to get rid of. Very, very difficult. But that's what you have to do. Sometimes there is payback for the way we have lived our life in this world, and I must be willing to undergo whatever payback I have to do to let love be possible in my life. I've worked with a lot of people, Abe, in my day. 44, 45 years of being a teacher, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, most people do not understand what they're doing, why they're doing it, or where they're doing it from within themselves. They miss everything. I missed it too when I was younger. From time to time, I would just miss the whole thing. So here you are in this lifetime, in this world, doing the things you and I do, and we have to ask ourselves, do I want to continue to be an ox? Or do I want to be something other than being clumsy and filled with my ego, my pride, my vanity, my little secrets? I say, let love live you. Abe, I hope that helps you. And you forgive my little dig there. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question. This comes from Rashad. Rashad does not tell me where he lives. I've got conflict with love and hate, good and bad. How do I resolve these, Rashad? This is a very good question. A very accurate, very insightful, very intelligent question. And I want to thank you, Rashad. Why are you pitting love against hate? Why are you pitting what you call good against bad? Why are you doing that? That's what you need to look at. What is it you're really doing when you're pitting one emotion against another? And these are just emotions and assumptions. Why live split? Why live right or left? Why not live beyond right and left, good and bad, love and hate? Why not live in a territory that most people do not consider reality or don't even know exists? It's a land that lives within your heart. Remember something, Rashad. Always remember this. When everything else is failing, when everything else is difficult, there is always love. Love is the great alternative. Love requires forgiveness. Love requires consciousness. Love requires beauty. Love is beauty. Live in those things. Practice living in those things, being unconscionably generous, kind, and forgiving. And if you do, if you can really listen to what I'm saying beyond my words, you won't be the ox anymore. And you won't be split anymore. The ego does nothing but split. This is how the ego works, the genetic factor in us. It splits everything into mine and yours, good and bad, right and wrong. And because it does this splitting thing, we're always in the demise of our own life, never in the context of loving kindness, never in a way in which brings about truth and beauty, because we're always fighting. When you are done with the fight and you are no longer here to pleasure and please the ego by trying to be successful and dominant and powerful and well thought of and getting your own way, whatever that is, when you are willing to, as Jesus said, be poor in spirit, you will find a profound change in your life and a profound change within yourself, and you will find the great beauty that exists within you as love itself. And no longer will you carry with you all of this karma. Believe me, what you are talking about here is a real karma builder. I'm running out of time. Rashad, thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Thank you, my dear audience, for listening. I hope some of this helped. If you ever have a question or a comment, you can reach me at greg@aspire.org or go to the website at aspire.org and you can email me from there, which is what most people do. And I would love to consider your question. I really would. Have a beautiful weekend. Please forgive me. Namaste.